The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with some of the nicest people we've had in Cleaning Nation. This is Dan and Catherine Thamer. These guys have been around for a couple years. I know they've been on the podcast once before. I don't know if it's been twice. I know it's been once, but they just jumped in next level. And I'm like, I think your story's gotten way better since the last time we talked. So I'm like, you should come back on again. And that's the entire and complete agenda for today. So that said, can you give us, for those that didn't see and are too, or hear, or, and are just too dang lazy to go back, can you just give us the like 60 second kind of zero to where you're at now? Or do you remember when you were on the last podcast? It'd be super cool if you
March. It was around March.
Okay, so zero to kind of how it looked and felt then, and then we'll dive into what's happened next, because you have got some things going on that a lot of people in Cleaning Nation want to do, i.e. dual locations, having a location not where you live. So I want to get into that, but just give us a quick background on you guys to catch the newbies up, if you would.
So back in March, our main question was, we felt like we'd kind of tapped out on growth. You gave some good coaching there about mindset on that, and then just to make a decision. So April, we came up here to Montana to visit a friend, kind of
real quick, just for context for everybody, we were recording this December. So when he's saying March, we're recording this December, 2021. Yep. So 9 months ago, effectively. Go ahead.
Yep. And we made a decision. We decided we were going to expand to Billings, Montana. By July, we'd moved up here. And we started our crappy version 1.0 of opening a new branch. And it was crappy because we ended up back in the field. Just a bunch of stuff we didn't want to have happen, but we did it and we're working our way out of it.
We started running our Colorado branch as much remotely from our house without going into the field as much as possible. Almost immediately when we made that decision. So turning over things that we were doing to other people because we knew we weren't going to be able to do it. It forced us to do that stuff that you've wanted us to do from the beginning. So,
First of all, we'll even back it up before that. Cause I, Dan and Catherine are some of the very few people I got to actually kind of invite into our program, which I don't get a lot. So I remember them. If I remember right, and please, if I tell a lie or say something that's incorrect, cause it's been a couple of years, correct me. I don't want to misspeak, but Dan was driving truck. My impression, I still remember it, was Catherine, a hardworking mom who felt not quite like a single mom, but like, you know, certainly Dan's out working his tail off. So he's out partying, driving truck ain't easy, but she's got these kids and there's money coming home, but she's like, I married my man and I'd like him and the paycheck's nice. Like we all get to eat, but that's that. And Dan probably felt, you think I love being out sleeping on freaking I want to be with my family as well. So they had what I would consider good, but not great life. Like, I don't think you guys were starving. I don't think, and maybe I'm remembering bills were paid, but you're like, this isn't the life that we set out to create. And Dan said, forget it. I'm all in. I'm just going to go be with my wife. We're going to try this thing. Goodbye trucking. And if I remember right, it wasn't the easiest transition. It wasn't like as soon as you made a decision, everything went great and you just took off to the moon. There was some fear and some wobbliness and some blech, frankly. Yeah. How long did it take to go from that where Catherine's kind of doing her thing semi-full-time, as full-time as you could be when you're trying to raise kids because you have several kids and your husband's not always there. And like, so you were as full-time as you could be. How long did it take from Dan coming home to you feeling like, okay, we're settled out of the field and kind of paying bills?
December 2019, I parked the truck. We talked to you January 2020. Shortly after that, we revamped a lot of stuff, dropped in clientele number pretty good. Then by June of 2020, we hired our first employee.
Okay.
But as far as being out of the field and everything, it was by that next, Daniel was out of the field by July. So essentially 6 months later, by the time he had joined us, he was doing more of the office stuff and implementing different things where I was still in the field managing and, running rags, supplies, all of that other stuff that was still doing, but, and advertising and But yeah, it had changed quite a bit because before he had come home, I was doing 8 to 10 hour days of work and running 4 kids to all their extracurriculars. And he was only home 3 days a month. So,
and I'm guessing when he was home.
Was still, but, yeah, work itself, you know, putting all of his laundry through, getting his all of his meals prepped. And yeah, it was not really.
Well, and also just like, home. I'm sorry. I know, and not to make anyone's job harder or easier, but you're going, I just had these 4 kids all by myself with no help, and I'm trying to run a business. Help out. And he's like, I've been on the road. I have 3 days. Could I lay down for 10 seconds? Would that be okay? That yeah. had to be just a massive amount of pressure on your relationship with each other. I know Dan had a lot of, like me, if I couldn't see my kids for 27 days, I wouldn't feel great for me. And my wife, for God's sake, I like my wife. I know you guys like each other. That's a problem.
Yeah. So, no, I kind of had a break at that point where I'm like, this, I got it. Something's got to quit. And at that moment, I was actually making more money than he was trucking. So, God had blessed us with a lady who had been cleaning for years and years, and they were moving out of the area, and she just dropped her entire clientele list with me. And I didn't have anywhere to put them, you know, so... it was one of those kind of cool moments. And that kind of happened again this last summer when we were thinking about expanding. We thought about going up to Denver and all that other places, but God just had different plans for us. Things happened with our home that we were in. We just said, okay, we got to move anyways. We're going to move. So
yeah. Let me get clear. You moved from Colorado to Montana. Mm-hmm. Were you out of cleaning before you moved? And if yes. so, for how long?
I was out of cleaning probably for 3 months. Okay. We tried to practice as much as possible. Like, hey, we can't just keep coming in. We're not doing this. Let's hand this to somebody else.
It forced us to break some bad habits of ours that we're very, very much, farming background. It just, we work, we're not afraid of it. Someone calls in, we're like, okay, well, we're going to make it happen. Instead of having a real set plan of how to keep us from having to go in, it was always, we were plan B.
So yep. Let's talk about that. Cause what Catherine was saying of forces to break some bad habits, I'm dying to hear some of those bad habits and how you finally change. Cause I'm sure other people have those habits and they're looking to change. And then also I want to encourage you guys out there listening, 6 months is on the long end, right? Not to make, you know, Dan and Catherine feel bad, but the good news is I don't think you were lacking information, right? It's not like you're like, cause we'd worked together. So it wasn't like, I'm like, I'll teach you some of it, but not all of it. And they're like, come on, help Mike, help. It was, and if I'm putting my stuff onto you. So if any of this is not true, feel free to go, that's not how it felt or looked at all, dude. It won't hurt my feelings a bit. But my guess from my outside looking in coaching perspective, you guys didn't need more information. You lack the transformation, the beliefs of we can do this. We can be out of cleaning. Did you learn more or did you like what changed you? Why did it take 6 months? And what was that switch that made you go, got it. We're actually going to get out of cleaning forever.
It's like you say, it's a lot of mindset. You can have all the information, but unless you're there, there's a fear element with some of that. I think, especially with, folks that, you know, bootstrap their companies from the ground up, because they didn't just jump in and say, hey, I have this idea and then create a team to implement it. They were the team. They were the idea creator. They were the team. They were doing the implementation of everything. And you have this little bit of fear when you're sitting there going, okay, well, if the cleaners can't show up, how much, you know, am I going to, how much am I going to piss clients off if I have to reschedule, you know? And there's that mindset that it's just, you got to get over it. It's.
And since you've been out of cleaning, how many times, if any, did you have to reschedule and how did the clients respond?
Well, you know, it's well, for the most part, you know, we just, you know, and we're trying to get this expressed to some of our team back in Colorado that they don't have to jump. Every time there's an issue with scheduling, we can reschedule. They don't have to screw up their personal schedules to go out into the field and fill in for somebody. Because we're not going to lose clients over it. I mean, there has been some times where we've had some, you know, mistakes as a company that have caused us to lose clients. I'm not going to say that doesn't happen, but that would happen if we were in the, that would have happened if we were in the field or not. You know, type deal. It's really a fear deal, and you got to just kind of push past it and just tell yourself you're going to give it a try, do it, and then see the other side that's not as bad as you thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I like talking about, fine, let's talk about that. How many clients left? A couple. And you got cancer and died? No, we just moved on with our lives. I'm like, oh, okay. So maybe some things bad can happen. And that's just that. So I think oftentimes the fear of what's going to happen is far worse than what actually happens. And then we end up living a real fear, which is we work all the daggum time. We can't grow a company because we're too busy cleaning toilets, as opposed to trading in it. All right. So you guys took 6 months to get from cleaning both of you to cleaning neither of you, give or take.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I'm going by memory, so feel free to correct me. I'd rather be correct and look stupid than you guys just like, well, he's completely wrong, but let's move on. So it took about 6 months, and then we had 3 months of not cleaning. And the big thing I'm hearing Daniel say, and Catherine hasn't said anything different, so just fear of we're afraid the employees wouldn't be able to do it like we did. Someone wouldn't show up and the earth would catch on fire. Like, we just had all these weird fears. And when we went through them, stuff happened, and there's systems and processes you can have to have backup people. And, you know, we want to plan for that, but let's say we don't have any of that. People just don't show up. Like, the nice thing is we're not brain surgeons, right? No one's going to die. It'll be fine. And then you moved and kept your business at your other place. How did that? I'm sure you had fears about that, as anyone would. How did the reality of that match up with maybe your fears and or expectations of that?
We didn't really have fears about it, honestly.
When we talked to you in March, and your biggest coaching twist then was just make a decision. Whatever it is, make a decision and move on.
Was making us overwhelmed and exhausted. And that's kind of, you know, we were trying to put numbers to it and do the research on the communities that we were going to possibly go into and this, that, the other thing. And, oh, is this going to work? It was just a lot of, you said, hey, make the decision, move on. And if it's the wrong decision, make a new decision. And we used that throughout the next probably 7-8 months of just like, okay, it was even to the like things of small things with the kids of like, okay, what are we taking with us? Because we had literally been in our house. And when I say farmhouse, 5 acres, shop, everything was like, we had kept everything for ages and ages and
14 years.
Yeah. Trying to go through stuff and getting them moved in out of the country into the city into small living. Just was like, okay, make a decision. If it's the wrong decision, we'll have to figure it out later, you know, and it was just the constant. And I remember dropping that same, you know, thing with the employees and my friends, and they're like, how are you doing this? I'm like, just make a decision, move on and go for it. And it's just like, that was our mantra for a long time. And then we got up here and the advertising that we had normally been doing in Colorado was not the same as what was going to work here. And so we just continued to like hit our head against the wall, expecting that same thing to work over and over. And then realized, okay, yep, this isn't working. And, reinvested with you guys in the next level and kind of started to get our mindset back on track with, this new branch. So, but the first branch has been running, humming along, and we kept our income, even though we weren't in the field, we kept our, it was essentially moving to an entire new state, but keeping the business running was simple. It was almost easier because we weren't there. So
let me encourage the listener. Well, encourage you guys personally. And then the listeners, I want you to get this. Notice what they didn't say was Mike gave me the right answer to every question we had the whole time. And because we knew he gave me the right answer, we could be confident. I gave him zero answers. So what Catherine just said is we made a decision. And we knew that there's no right or wrong answer decision. There's this decision will get you this set of results, and that decision will get you that set of results. That's all. You know, if we start putting a moral judgment, that was the wrong decision. And some decisions have moral consequences, but I don't think we're talking about that with you guys, God forbid. So you just said we did this and it had this set of consequences. And then if we liked consequences, we moved on with our lives. If we didn't like consequences, we just made yet another decision that would have a different set of consequences. And it was an iterative process, as opposed to we put all this pressure, like if I screw this up, everything will be lost, right? Like, you know, we're packing. And what if, you know, cause you guys moved. So the smaller version that most of us can relate to is packing. I learned 20 years ago, once I had some money, I'm like, wait a second, there's whatever we don't pack, we'll just buy there. Like, I forgot. Yeah, they have that there. Whatever it is. Don't even finish sentence. Bathing suit, toothbrush, pair of shorts, whatever. Yeah, they got that there. It'll be fine. Yeah. And I don't know how many things I bought there since I did that, but just the gift of it'll be fine. It'll all sort out. I'm going to make a decision. We're going to move forward. So I love that you guys just made the decision. And the funny thing is, the fact that you made the decision, stood by the decision, had confidence in it, probably made those decisions feel right 80% of the time. And how you feel, how you experience the results of the experience of the decision is the decision, right? If we decided, there's no right or wrong. Another family might look at that and go, oh my gosh, two different locations, two, but that would be hell on earth. Okay. That's the way they would choose to experience that. So I just love the confidence. Second thing I want to ask you is, without getting too personal, is your first business paying all your bills?
Yes.
So effectively, let's be clear. You guys are retired. You don't have to, I mean, you're insane like me. And you're like, oh, we've got to start another business. Which is fine.
We got a little bit of that insanity going on. We got plans for yet other branches in the future. But essentially it was, if I could encourage anybody to step out on that, and if they got any inclination to want to run their company remotely, do it. Because it is an amazing feeling when you've started, you know, back where we started in the stuff that kind of our own personal background, you know, colors that, of course, but just I remember once we got up here and having things still humming along in Colorado, getting the work done, having the, you know, receivables come in on the first of the month, it was an amazing feeling. And you know, that's something I would wish for everybody to get to experience, because it's kind of freeing, and I don't have a real good way of explaining it. But I don't know. It was great. And so, yeah, there is some truth there that, you know, we're paying our bills. Yes, but we're not to the point that we want to have our lives and the lifestyles that we want. And so we're still going to keep growing and stuff, but we could have, if we wanted to just kind of hunker where we were at and,
or even leave that one running and, you know, touch it a few times a week, but at the same time, just go and do something else. Yeah. We could have done that. So
that's the point I want to make for you guys and for Cleaning Nation is, I have no ideas what your bills are. Don't matter. Let's just say it's $5,000 a month. Cause I think that's a fairly, people can understand that number. So if your bills are $5,000 a month, and maybe they're more, maybe they're less, who cares? And by the way, there's only two ways to retire: make more money or have less bills. So if you can find a way to need $2,000 a month to live, and you can have $2,001 coming in for the rest of your life, you're retired. So if it was $5,000, you made $5,200 or whatever the case may be, you're retired. And I want you guys to get the distinction. Cause again, I think for me, it was $1 million. A lot of people, it's $1 million. And I've shared repeatedly, I don't even remember the first year I made $1 million. Cause I was so focused on
the next,
the 2 million. And you don't get an award. Nothing happens where you're like, bing, that was it. You're just like moving along, and you know, cause you don't have an exact, like it goes up slowly, and you know, it doesn't like boom, you're nothing and you're at a million. So I do want, when you get to the point where you're like, wait a sec, we have a business that we can work 0 to 10 hours a week, depending on the week, and it will pay all of our bills indefinitely. That's a big deal. Believe for me, that I would rather have a business if my bills are $5,000 a month that made me $5,000 a month, and I could do virtually or very little, less than 10 hours a week, many hours, no hours a week, or a couple hours a week. And it paid all my bills for the rest of my life. You know, obviously I shouldn't say forever, but indefinitely, right? There's no reason this would cease to exist. I'd rather have that than $1 million business that, you know, maybe made $100,000, but I got to work at 40, 50 hours a week. Cause that, to me, that's risk and that's scary and that's whatever. And again, if you guys chose to say, you know what, we're just going to hang out with our kids and that'll just be it for a month or a year or until we get sick of it. God bless. Obviously you're insane. You're like, no, we've got to start 17 other businesses. But the magic is you're like, this is before. So the year, because it sounds like it was December. You said you parked the truck December 2020. We're in December 2021. So 1 year from the reality.
December 2019.
Yeah, so 2 years. Okay. So twice as long as we thought. But again, it wasn't like nothing for 23 and a half months. And then all of a sudden they're here, right? There was steady progress. But in the span of 2 years, I think y'all could have gone quicker, but 2 years is still fine. It went from Dan, and again, thanks for correcting me and continue to correct me, home 3 days a week, having to pay bills.
3 days a month.
3 days a month. My apologies. and again, if you can't see these guys, they're adorable. They love each other. Like that would be painful for them. And again, you love your kids. And I'm sure kids are like, who's this big guy that comes in and, you know, farts and eats 3 days a month that we see, you know, like who's this guy? And I'm sure that broke Dan's heart. So we went from And Dan, being a farmer, like, hey, that's what I got to do to pay for my kids. That's what I'll do to pay for my kids. So the complete lack of control, right? I got to be wherever I'm told for 27 days, no quality of life. Catherine's miserable. And I'm assuming that was just paying bills. Not like, oh, we were rich at that point. We were banking 20 grand a month. Like, I could see doing that for a year or two if it's like, I only got to do it for 2 years and I'm retired. But it's like, no, we're just barely paying bills. So Catherine's working full-time in a job she didn't love. Dan's working full-time in a job he doesn't love. The kids are like, who are any of these people? Because they're all gone. We eat, but that's about it. 2 years later, same bills are getting paid. I'm guessing your bills are the same or more than they were before. But now it's zero hours a week. That's a big deal. That's like literally retirement. And your kids now go, you don't give that legacy of, and again, God bless farmers and hard work. I'm not knocking that. But your kids see there's a different reality. They go, oh my gosh, mom and dad, I don't have to be a mom. I don't have to be away from my family 27 days to feed them. We can create something that magically does it. So that's got to feel good. All right. We're absolutely running out of time in the minute or two we've got. If you could give the biggest encouragement to folks that are like, okay, but how do I do that? And you were folks that listen to this podcast and go, but how do I do that? I'll give you each a minute to just speak to that person, those people.
I think originally the advice you gave us in March, decide, make a decision. I went back through your book this last year. And I sat down and I actually worked, you know, did the backwards engineering of the numbers of what I wanted to see accomplished in my life and what that was going to take. Kind of surprised the crap out of me how just big of a number I want to get to. But that's because there are things in my life and experiences. It's really about experiences that I want to give my kids. And so then figure that out and then decide how you're going to do it. Make that decision and go.
I love that. So people, just so you guys know, people come to us going, I want help, I want coaching, I want support and all that stuff. And that's great. We love it. Well, that's why we're in business. So no complaints. But the people that are interested but not committed to that, we have a very hard time even accepting as clients. People that have decided and go, I'm going to do this. This is happening. This is a reality I will create in my life. I think you'll make it easier. But if not, I'll try the next thing and the next thing and the next thing for 1,000 things. When you all bring that to the table, we can help anybody. When you're interested but not committed, sometimes we can't even take you as a client. If we can, we got to work twice as hard to get half the results. Catherine, we're going to give you the last word, sister.
My last word would probably be that you're stronger than you think you are. A lot of the women and men that I employ, they struggle through things, and it's just that you're stronger than you think you are. And you just need to just say, I'm going to do what I can today. And if it didn't work out for tomorrow, we'll figure that out tomorrow. But today is what you got.
Giving yourself permission to do what you can do and let the rest go for tomorrow. That's kind of a big fat deal. All right. I'll make sure we put a link ideally to their first podcast, because I'm guessing a lot of you guys are like, I want to hear that. And I'll see if we can put a link to my book. You talking, which one are you talking about? I'm a Freaking Genius Wise Business. We have two. I'll put a link to both.
There you did have that it. One.
No, I think the, this one with you running out of the safe.
$1 million service business secrets. Yeah. All right. I'll put a link to both. That way you can have them. All right. Guys, gals, you're amazing. Cleaning Nation. Big takeaways I would have is decide, be okay. There's no such thing as a wrong decision. There's just a decision that gets you results you don't like. And then you just make another decision to fix that one. And then just like what Catherine said, you're stronger than you think. You got more in you. Once you decide that, you can really untap that power and get the results that you want. If you're like, I need more help, this is amazing, but I need more help than just a stupid book, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Everything we offer you need is right there. Check it out. I'll see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.